Welcome to our inaugural episode of Smithsonian Associates Events on the Not Old Better Show. I'm Paul Vogelzang, your host, and I want to thank you for listening. I also want to invite you to subscribe to these great free podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, at the Smithsonian Associates website. That's smithsonianassociates.org. You can find out about how to become a member, where to sign up for these e-alerts to tell you about special programs, special offers, and all kinds of pre-sale notices. Give it a try. I think you'll love it. Smithsonian Associates is the largest museum-based education program in the world and produces vibrant educational and cultural programming inspired by the Smithsonian's research collections and exhibitions. The programs are designed to be entertaining, informative, eclectic, and insightful. Each year, more than 750 individual programs are presented to spark creativity and excite learning in people of all ages in the Washington, D.C. area and across the country. Smithsonian Associates brings the Smithsonian to life through seminars, performances, lectures, studio arts classes, and local and regional study tours, as well as many engaging programs for children, including performances, museum sleepovers, and summer day camps. This fall's program includes over 70 courses and workshops, with over a third making their Smithsonian debut. That has to be some kind of record. And here to tell us all about the courses, the programs, broken records, and the growing learning and creativity from the Smithsonian Associates is Rebecca Roberts. Welcome to the show, Rebecca. And is that right? Is this some kind of record you've broken?
It's a pretty crazy long list for fall, isn't it?
It is.
But that's the extraordinary thing about being able to work at the Smithsonian. This institution has such a broad reach and such depth of resources that it's all our beat. I mean, we joke that the master challenges of the Smithsonian include all American culture, culture of all other humans on the planet, all the other species on the planet, and then all other planets too.
It's all us.
So of course we have a long list because we touch on everything you could possibly imagine.
And that's great. That is a lot to imagine. Well, mention the variety and talk about this expansion. Why these new directions? I noticed in the catalog this mention of a curator experience. I thought that was really interesting. And so if you could talk about that as well as this idea of a creativity with a view and the sing out Smithsonian choral and the rock and roll chorus, all of these great things. It is all.
Right. So, you know, the Smithsonian's going to offer in-depth scientific lectures and all-day seminars on art history and the intellectual push that you expect from a brand name that is respected as much as the Smithsonian is. What we also offer that people might not know are things like Sing Out Smithsonian, which is a chorus that meets during the day, practices weekly, and then performs at the end of it. You don't need to be a great singer. You don't need to have studied opera. You can just participate in this chorus. The studio arts classes, which can be for very serious sculptors. They can be for beginning photographers. And we're starting a series with arts classes on the rooftop of the Hyatt Hotel down here by the mall.
I did not see that. That's great.
It's new.
Yeah.
So it's this beautiful view where you can have a glass of wine and maybe draw something pretty and maybe have another glass of wine so you don't necessarily care how pretty your drawing is by the end of it. But it's the kind of thing where we're trying to not only bring the intellectual resources of this institution, but the amazing places in this city to the locals. Because, you know, people tend to come to the Smithsonian when they've got family in town. You know, they bring their grandkids to the Air and Space Museum, and that's great. But there's so much to do here if you live here, too, not just going back to go see the space shuttle one more time, but to actually take advantage of the fact that this is our backyard and this is our city's resource.
Well, that creativity with a view class just sounds fantastic. And Rebecca, thanks again for joining us today. Let me point out to our audience that Rebecca knows so much about all this because it's her job. Rebecca is one of the program coordinators here at Smithsonian Associates. And I say here because we're conducting today's interview inside the Smithsonian building in downtown Washington, D.C. And over the course of the next several months, we're going to be talking with Rebecca and her team about all of the great programs, interviewing some of the course instructors, previewing all of these cool ideas that are coming and just exploring how Smithsonian Associates is sparking learning and creativity, as well as really getting people together in downtown Washington, D.C. with all of these excellent offerings. Well, Rebecca, tell us a little bit about your job and how you and your team have taken these classes and turned them into something that really are inspirational experiences. Talk a little bit about the passion that you have for this and for your job and what it means to you.
You make it sound very glamorous that we're maybe up in the tower of one of the Smithsonian Castle turrets. We are actually three stories underground. One little secret people might not know about the mall, at least this south side of the mall, is that the buildings here are all connected underground. The Asian Art Sackler Museum, the Freer Gallery, the African Art Museum, the Castle, and the Arts and Industries Building. We've got this warren of tunnels down here, and our office is in one of those tunnels. So it's a little different than you might be imagining when you hear Smithsonian office building.
Well, I'm enjoying it.
Well, thank you for coming on down. Our office itself here is populated by these incredibly creative and smart folks. So we have six program coordinators doing full-time adult programs. Then there are more folks working on studio arts, working on our youth programs, working on our performances. And of the six of us, we don't really have beats like you would in a newsroom, although we do kind of gravitate towards what we know and like. So I do a lot of American history. I do a lot of natural science. Some of my colleagues do more art history. You don't want me anywhere near the art, but they shy away from science. So one programmer has a music background. One programmer has a sort of more hard science and math background. One does a lot of travel and food. So among the six of us, we managed to put together this very varied curriculum. But again, being able to have the resources of the Smithsonian available to you means that there's an expert on almost anything here at just across the mall.
That's great, Rebecca. Thanks. And to give everybody kind of a mental picture of this, the mall is a DC neighborhood. And for those of us who live close by, it's a must-see neighborhood. It's definitely a neighborhood with all the great neighbors like the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument, the World War II Memorial, and also the great Smithsonian monuments and libraries and attractions. Tell us, though, if you're not familiar with one of the Smithsonian events, let us know, Rebecca, what it's like to experience that as an attendee at one of these programs. What is that all about?
Our programs are held in all the different auditorium spaces in all the different museums in the system. And we kind of choose them more based on the size of the auditorium than on the content of the museum the auditorium is in. But there's something extraordinary about being live in the room when you're learning something. Not only because you feed off the energy of the other people with you, you have the chance to ask questions, you have the chance to hear questions from people who you might not have anticipated that line of subject, that line of questioning. And I have never been in a program, Paul, whether it's about particle physics or about Gothic architecture, where there haven't been extraordinary questions. It's my favorite part of it because our audience is so smart and they're so curious. And Washington, you know, you joke that it's nerd capital of the world or whatever, but we love the nerds. We are the nerds. They are our people. So the fact that you can unapologetically sit in a program about early 19th century literature and have people challenge the speaker and have their own expertise challenged because everybody is so invested in really, truly learning something.
I agree. Sitting in the room, sitting among the audience, I just think it's really the best way to learn. You know, among the engaging, captivating courses that you offer, there is a certification and course credit component. That may be news to our audience. So tell us a little bit about this certification program.
We have this certificate program in world art history. It's extremely popular. People can take art history credits in a variety of time periods, places in the world, styles of art. And because it has proved so popular, we are looking at developing some new certificate programs. So stay tuned for more on that.
Yeah, great. Well,
but one of the nice things about that program is that the participants have started to become a community with each other. So people see the same faces in some of the classes. Mm-hmm. They start sharing information. They start comparing notes. And that happens in the studio arts classes a lot, too. And it has started to happen. We've been running a DC history series. This is actually my project because I'm a native and I feel like there are lots of people here who are from somewhere else and don't necessarily know the history of this city that well. So we've started these daytime courses divided up by quadrant. I think Georgetown is next up on the list, where you go to some of the lesser known historic sites. And then at the end of the lecture series, you get a tour of all of those sites. And so when people start to become a community with each other and see the same faces at these programs, you're not only learning the stuff the lecturer is talking about, you know, you're learning from each other. And that has been this lovely side benefit that you really can't get online.
Right. I just agree 100%. You can't get some of that stuff online. I think the other thing that's really interesting about the programs that you're offering here at Smithsonian Associates, and again, that's smithsonianassociates.org. I think this interaction with the faculty, all of the great teachers, the coursework, the curricula design, all of those elements that go into making a class, your team is working on one part of it, and then you bring in some of these wonderful resources of the Smithsonian Associates to assist on this other side of it, the classroom side, right?
In addition to the Smithsonian resources, which are vast and extremely well respected, we also have a whole lot of colleges here in town. So we take full advantage of the faculties of Georgetown and GW and Catholic and George Mason, and are able to invite, you know, very well-known professors to come teach our classes. And they get a break from teaching undergraduates, right? And they get to teach these lifelong learners, which they are not sorry to have that chance. And then we also have become a stop on a lot of authors' book tours, which is so nice for us because it gives us a chance to bring in speakers that we couldn't necessarily afford otherwise if they weren't selling a book. And our audience wants to buy their book, our audience, you know, so it works for them, it works for us. We've also developed a really nice relationship with some publicists. So we've developed a bigger popular culture programming stream than we had had in the past. So for instance, Taraji P. Henson, who plays Cookie in Empire, is coming.
I love Taraji.
And again, because people here want to learn something, you get this kind of behind the scenes making of a show, the role of the African-American experience in music because of the plot line of Empire, rather than just a kind of, hey, look, it's a celebrity.
Yeah.
So for instance, when we had the Walking Dead program here, yes, we had one of the stars, but we also had the special effects guys talking about actually how you put that show on and the whole history of zombie stories in American culture, right? So it's not just what you would get from a 90-second piece on commercial television or even a quick read in the Post or something like that. You really are getting something where you feel like you're having an experience you can't get somewhere else.
It really is an experience you can't get anywhere else. I'm a member. I've been a member for quite a while. Being a member has been important to me. But tell us, Rebecca, what does it mean to be a member? Where do you go to find out more about that? How does our audience learn about the value of membership? What does it take to kind of get there? I certainly want to give a boost and a shout out to this wonderful program, but tell our audience what they need to do in order to really become a member and take advantage of it.
Well, thank you so much for that plug.
It's a real problem here.
It is of terrific benefit to be a member. The first thing you get is ticket discounts, so it pays for itself really quickly. Of course, we sell general admission tickets as well, but membership tickets are discounted. We also have membership-only events. We are planning right now for our huge annual Breakfast at the Zoo. This is a chance to get into the zoo before it opens. It's a great idea, and it's popular every year, and that is only open to members because we have to cap it somewhere.
Yeah.
We often have Meet the Masters program attached to some of our bigger name guests. I think the next one for that is going to be Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer. We've had most of the Supreme Court justices come speak for us. He's next on the list, and a certain level of membership gets access to a pre-event meet and greet with him. So membership also gets you an early notice of what we're offering. You get the catalog of programs online early. It gets you early sign up to our summer camps, which, as anyone who's got small kids in this town knows, summer camps fill up about the second they go on sale.
Yeah.
So there are lots and lots of benefits, and it's super easy to become a member. You can find all that on our website, smithsonianassociates.org. You can call the main customer service number. The customer service ladies are spectacular, 202-633-3030, and anybody would be more than happy to help you with that. And if you come to an event and you're not a member, the person taking your ticket can give you a membership. So we make that as smooth and easy as possible.
That's great, Rebecca. Thanks. I want to repeat that phone number for our audience. That's 202- 202- 633-3030. 3030. Certainly, you can get an awful lot of information there from the customer service representatives. Well, that concludes part one of our interview with Rebecca Roberts. Stay tuned for part two with Rebecca Roberts and the Smithsonian Associates Fall Events from the Not Old Better Show. You're really going to enjoy this next section. We talk about an awful lot of the specifics around the programs. And stay tuned for some special information about the walking tours. Thanks to all my guests today, all the help on the podcast, and especially to Media Studio Edit and the great work by Wayne Brown and his team for editing the podcast and making me sound so much better. That is to say, not old, but better. Thanks to all.